You're running low on drinking money. So what do you do? Well, if your name is Sir John Falstaff, you attempt to seduce two wealthy women so you can use their money to keep the liquor flowing. Giuseppe Verdi turned Shakespeare's tale of the lecherous fat knight into a scintillating comedy, which will be given 4 performances by UK's Opera Theatre at the Lexington Opera House this weekend. Starring as Falstaff for the 2 matinee performances on Saturday and Sunday is Reginald Smith Jr. Taking the role of Nanetta on Friday and Saturday evening is Elizabeth Morey. The production will be directed by Richard Kagi. I'm Tom Goodell. Reginald, Elizabeth, Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you all for coming. Now, Verdi is best known to me, and probably I think to most music lovers, for some very serious operas, things like Aida and La Traviata. So, Richard Kagi, why did he suddenly decide to turn to comedy at the end of his life?
He was convinced by his librettist. He brought him the piece. They had done Otello, and he was ready to retire. And his librettist said, "You'll really retire well if you do this piece." Verdi read it, loved it, and did it.
And his librettist is Arrigo Boito, who was also a composer in his own right.
Yes, very much so.
And we'll talk more about him in just a moment, but I want to bring in members of the cast and start with Reginald Smith Jr. Falstaff is one of the great characters of all time, I think, in all theater. And legend has it that Queen Elizabeth herself commanded Shakespeare to write a play that included him as a character. So you'll be playing the Fat Knight for 2 matinee performances of Falstaff. What is it about him and his character that made you want to be him, to become him?
Very often I have the wonderful pleasure of performing father roles and the villains. And not often do I get a chance to do happy and friendly roles and things that are really funny. So that's one really thrilling part of playing the role of Falstaff. It's a lot of fun. It's a great ensemble show, so you get to do a lot of wonderful work with other colleagues. And so I really enjoyed just having the opportunity to relax and be fun on stage.
Now, in Falstaff, Verdi contrasts a rather stormy relationship, I think, between Ford and his wife. There's, of course, some tremendous jealousy that's aroused by Falstaff's actions here. But he contrasts that with a really tender romance between their daughter, Nanetta, and a young gentleman named Fenton. So, Elizabeth Morey, you're going to sing Nanetta for 2 evening performances of Falstaff with UK's Opera Theatre. There are quite a few obstacles that you have to overcome before you can marry the man you love. So tell us a bit about that and how that came about.
My father, Ford, wants me to marry a gentleman by the name of Dr. Cayuse, who is very religious and has money. So
and he's a little bit older than you.
Yes, he's much older than I am. I obviously don't want to do that. I want to marry Fenton, who is the love of my life, and We sneak around through the whole play, and we get caught. But then at the end, my father has devised a plan to marry us while we're masked, marry me to Dr. Cayuse.
And Big mistake.
Big mistake. And quickly, one of the other characters and my mother, Alice, help me to be placed in the wrong spot and end up married to Fenton instead. And then Ford, my father, actually marries Dr. Cayuse to Bardolfo, one of Falstaff's servants. So it's quite an ending.
Richard Kagi, you've said that Verdi's opera eclipses Shakespeare's original. So why do you feel that way?
Well, I think two reasons. Number one, the apocryphal story, of course, of Queen Elizabeth asking Shakespeare to write it. And when he wrote it, I think the first thing he did, which I think is a riot, is he took characters from the 14th century and jumped them to the late 16th century, 200 years, without any explanation. They just move. The second thing he did was he put together a very involved, intriguing plot in Merry Wives of Windsor, but with so many characters, you need T-shirts with names on them to figure out who's who and why they're where they're supposed to be. And what Verdi and his librettist did was they cut that down to 10 characters. And it makes it really clear what's going on. And it boils the plot down so that what you see is you see the dynamic between Ford and Alice. You see the dynamic between Fenton and Nanetta. And you see how Falstaff plays into that with the other characters. And it makes it very interesting. It also is very interesting because Shakespeare meant it to be, I'm sure, this way, and Verdi only reinforces it, that Alice is really the puppet master. She makes the thing zoom to a certain extent. She pulls the thing. She's very much, in a sense, like, I don't want to say Lucille Ball because she's not played that way, but very much in the sense of that kind of character that is the dynamic wheel that pushes what's going to go on. And I find that fascinating in the piece.
Now, Falstaff is an Italian opera based on an English play, which may or may not have been based on an Italian story to begin with.
Exactly.
So just to avoid confusion.
With a
here,
German count.
Yes. Which language will you be singing in?
The cast sings in Italian.
And there will be?
English supertitles.
So we will all know what's going
exactly
on.
What's going on.
As the play progresses. Is it difficult for you folks to sing in Italian? I mean, it's not your native language.
Well, that's one of the wonderful joys of going to college here at the University of Kentucky, is that we're required to take a class called Vocal Diction, where we learn how to sing in different languages, German, French, Italian, sometimes Russian, and English, which is also very important. But we also have to take Italian language, just the language itself. So a lot of us have a basic understanding of what we're saying, and we have a basic understanding of how to pronounce the words. And then we have wonderful coaches and teachers that really help us and help prepare us to make it all very natural for each one of us.
I think, too, it's much easier to sing this opera in Italian instead of English because the syllables are right where Verdi wanted them to be. Mm. And so it's not like we have to try and fit awkward words into rhythms, and it all just goes together, so it makes it much easier.
A lot of times, too, with operas that are based on plays that we know, Shakespeare is certainly an author who's had several of them done, it's tricky to do them in English because we expect the Shakespearean dialogue, and we expect the Shakespearean poetry, and it won't fit to the music.
What's really interesting is when they last did the opera Falstaff here at the University of Kentucky, where Dr. Everett McCorvey played Fenton, oddly enough, they actually did the opera in English, and they did it on the concert hall stage at Singletary. So it has been done in English. It has been done in Italian. So it's not that far off. You know, it's not as odd as you would think to do it in either language.
Well, our guests are director Richard Kagi, who will be directing this performance of Falstaff, and we have two members of the cast with us, Reginald Smith Jr. and also Elizabeth Morey. For the two of you who are singing, what besides the language, what kind of challenges does this role or do your roles present for you?
The hardest thing for me in learning this role was memorizing all of the words. And it's not because they're in Italian, but because they go by so quickly, and because you'll sing three verses while somebody else is singing different words at the same time, and it's really difficult to remember which words are yours and when you're supposed to be singing them.
One of the things that I found really fun about doing the role is that it's really helped me with my stamina, because singing the title role requires a different stamina than singing a supporting role, because Falstaff is in 5 of the 6 scenes of the opera. So it's been a wonderful journey of exploring my vocal capacity and technique.
And you get to sing from inside a laundry basket.
I tell you, now that's funny. We sing that it's hot on stage, but really, it really is hot inside that basket.
You're not pretending when you complain.
No.
Finding the basket was the interesting part.
And then getting 4 extras to carry it. Well, as performing artists, what's more rewarding for you? Is it performing a comedy like Falstaff, or is tragedy something that you would feel more profound?
This is actually my first role in an opera, and I absolutely love it. I love every bit of it. Every minute that you're on stage, you're just having fun. The entire thing is fun, and so it's really lighthearted, and you make a lot of friends because the emotional dynamic of it isn't heavy.
I just love to perform in general. I think that dark and evil roles are lots of fun. I think Gilbert and Sullivan is a lot of fun. Playing the father in Traviata is a lot of fun. Playing Falstaff is a lot of fun. Having the opportunity to perform is enough for me to just be happy.
Do each of you have a favorite moment in the opera?
Well, last night was the other cast run-through, so I was able to watch, and my favorite moment was when Falstaff was in the basket, because it is just hilarious, and my character is actually off with Fenton.
Yeah, you're hiding behind a screen making out.
Correct. They're loving each other, and but the rest of the scene is just hysterical, and so I think that's my favorite part from an audience perspective.
Richard Kagi?
I find the whole opera intriguing because of the way it's set up and the way it moves through where it's going. And I got to say, in this time around for me on Falstaff, I fell in love with Act 3-2, which is the very last scene of the show. It's always eluded me a little bit because suddenly the style changes slightly and we begin to unwind the plot very quickly, but then Verdi takes us into a magnificent fugue, which is a great piece of music. It's always been a great piece of music. But I finally feel like I have an idea of what that was all about and why it all fits together. And so I've becoming more and more a fan of 3-2, which I never thought I would be.
Richard, what are you working on next?
I go from here to Atlanta to do Don Giovanni. And then from there, I'm going to Texas to do the set for Lysistrata.
Well, it's unfortunate that you can't bring those here after you're done. We'd love to see those. Falstaff opens tomorrow, Friday night, at the Lexington Opera House. Are tickets still available?
Yes. As a reminder to everybody, the evening performances are at 7:30. Matinees are at 2.
I will say I'm slightly biased and a little partial, but I think the afternoon shows are going to be something really worth coming to see. And it's not just because I'm performing the title role. However, if you really want to get your money's worth, you buy 2 tickets to see the evening and the afternoon to really compare the difference between the casts.
And interestingly enough, both shows tell the story very well. Both casts tell the story very well, but they are markedly different in how they do it. And you really would, if you are an opera lover and you love Falstaff, you really should see both performances.
Final fugue from Verdi's last opera, the comic masterpiece Falstaff, with Bryn Terfel in the title role. Claudio Abbado conducted the Berlin Philharmonic. The UK Opera Theatre performs Verdi's Falstaff on Friday evening at 7:30. followed by two performances on Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7:30, and a final matinee on Sunday at 2. All performances will be held in the Lexington Opera House, and their box office number is 233-3535. For UK Perspectives, I'm Tom Goodell.